Translation. O king, a quarrel then arose among the demons over who would get the nectar first. Each of them said, You cannot drink it first. I must drink it first. Me first. No, you. Not you. Not you. Purport. This is the symptom of demons. The first concern of a non-devotee is how to enjoy his personal sense gratification at once, whereas the devotee's first concern is to satisfy the Lord. This is the distinction between the non-devotee and the devotee. In this material world, since most people are non-devotees, they regularly compete, fight, disagree, and war among themselves. For everyone wants to enjoy and satisfy his own senses. Therefore, unless such demons become Krishna conscious and are trained to satisfy the senses of the Lord, there can be no question of peace in human society or any society, even that of the demigods. The demigods and devotees, however, always surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus the Lord is always anxious to satisfy their ambitions. While the demons fight to satisfy their own senses, devotees engage in devotional service to satisfy the senses of the Lord. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be alert in regards to this point, and then their preaching of the Krishna consciousness movement will be successful. Do I continue to the end? No? Not necessary. Om Agyatam Anandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svabhadantikam Vanchakal Patu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitananam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudhi Gaur Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama So here again, we're seeing the difference between the mentality and activities of the devotee and that of the non-devotee. That though the devotees and the non-devotees together as a team created the nectar of immortality, when it was produced, the non-devotees, the demons, they took the nectar with the intention of enjoying it entirely for themselves. So, this is not uncommon. We have seen it ourselves. We have been in that position ourselves. When the senses are uncontrolled, then we do all kinds of crazy and mad things. This was pointed out by Rishabhdev to his sons. Nunam pramata matayo kurute vikarma that when the senses are the main source of one's life's enjoyment, then one becomes mad in order to enjoy those senses. So here we see the demons. They have taken the nectar, the nectar of immortality, but because their senses are uncontrolled, they didn't realize the essence of what they had in their hands. And instead of just immediately taking that nectar and enjoying it, they started to quarrel amongst each other. There was no unity amongst those non-devotees. No unity. And therefore, a quarrel, a disagreement took place, which held up the enjoyment of the nectar. How crazy. They had it right before them, and they could have just as easily distributed it and got that. What they wanted was immortality. But because their senses were completely disarray, uncontrolled, they almost forgot what they had in their hands, and instead they paid more attention to who was going to get it first. And they started fighting with each other. This is the sum and substance of material life, is that we want more and we want it now, but I'm first. That's their mantra. We want more, we want more. Not only do we want more, but we want it right now. We're not going to wait. We want it right now, and I personally will not allow anyone to get it before me. So the difference between the devotees and the non-devotees is that the devotees, they don't mind waiting for the nectar. And here we can see in the sense of the demigods there, they were morose. Naturally, they spent so much time along with the non-devotees in producing that nectar, so when it was snatched away, they naturally became morose. But at least they had the sense to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord said, yes, don't be morose, because I will arrange everything in due course of time. So this is the difference, whereas the devotees, non-devotees want everything immediately, the devotees don't mind waiting. And this is our sacrifice that we make. I like to always give the example of the non-devotees. One day of the year they get up for Mangal Aarti. Well, it's not actual Mangal Aarti, but it's their Mangal Aarti. Which day do they get up at 4 o'clock? Well, here it's Christmas Day. For you, it's Boxing Day. You're from Latvia. Yes. But what is the purpose? To enjoy the senses. That at 4 o'clock, immediately the tongue sticking out, oh, it's Christmas Day, I must go and see what's there for my tongue, for my ears, and for my eyes. Not considering what day it is, of course, it's questionable what day it is, because they say it's Jesus' birthday, but that's also questionable. So again, even they don't get their days right, the main thing is they get their senses right. we want to enjoy. We'll use this day, the 25th of December, to get up early and enjoy. So we also have a very special day in the year, which is the most important day of the year for the devotees, Janmashtami. And what do we do on Janmashtami? Yes, we are fasting all day. And we are fasting all day for the purpose that during the day we're constantly reminded, why am I fasting? Oh, yes, it's Krishna's birthday. Jai Shri Krishna, Janmashtami ki jai. And we continue fasting until the end of the day. And then we feast. So Prabhupada said, there's no question of fasting without feasting afterwards. We're not dry renouncers that we just fast. But we fast, and then after fasting, we feast. But we have to wait all day for that feast. And when we have the feast, we relish with great pleasure, because Krishna has appeared and he has taken his prasad, his offerings, and he's given us his prasad so we can enjoy too. So we've taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, and all benedictions are given to such devotees. So it's not really a question of whether Krishna consciousness works or not. But the real question is, how long are we prepared to wait? That's the question. We have to wait, but how long are we prepared to wait? How long are you prepared to wait? Ask yourself. Some come running into Krishna consciousness very excited. It's an exotic change in their life. But, Lord Chaitanya has not appeared before me. I have been chanting for 2 weeks now. There must be something wrong with this process. So this is the question. The process works, but how long are we prepared to wait for the nectar? I've waited 40 years for a little bit of drop of nectar. I'm relishing that nectar. So I'm a living proof of life's complications, since I came from the material world and I was one of the biggest dogs in the material world. But by accepting the process of Krishna consciousness and prepared to wait, having enough faith that at least I've been told that I'll get some nectar. Okay. So let me wait. And I've waited some time and I have received a drop of nectar. So I can safely say to you, who may have been only 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years, yes, the nectar is there. And I can't wait to drink the rest of the nectar. Because that's the life of a devotee. That, okay, we still have senses, and the senses are still pushing and pushing. But through this process, we engage the senses and the mind in a higher service. Devotional service we engage in higher values. The the definition given by Rupa Goswami of sadhana bhakti is that it's a process to engage the mind and the senses in devotional service for the purpose of reawakening that dormant nectar that is there within us. So we are trying to wake up. This is our practice on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week, year-to-year. It is a process of waking up from our illusory conditioning and experiencing the higher taste of devotional service. So this is the difference. With non-devotee life, we could say that they're like glowworms. You ever seen a glowworm? In India, you get glowworms. I saw one in Mayapur this year. I was in the temple room and suddenly something flashed before me. But wow, what was that? I thought I was getting some special Shakti coming from somewhere. But then I looked closely, it was a glowworm. And a glowworm, you know, it vibrates like this, on, off, on, off, on, off. 1 minute you don't see it, next minute you see the glow. So it was in the dark, and it was glowing on and off. So this is material life. That it's based on two processes. Hankering is like you get excited, you have a glow of excitement. And then after getting what you wanted, you realize that it didn't actually give me exactly what I expected. And then there's lamentation. And this is the constant life of a non-devotee. Hankering, lamentation. Darkness, a little glow. From a little glow, it goes back to darkness. Darkness, glow, God. Glow, darkness, glow, darkness, glow, darkness. They have waited all year for the summer to arrive. I don't see that there is a summer here. Do you see? Maybe I'm in an illusion or something. No. I was coming up from my motorhome to the temple to give class, and the kirtan was going on in the temple. And I was, wow, that's this real ecstatic kirtan going on there. I wonder who's leading. And I was thinking how out here it's darkness. The sun's up, but there's nothing to enjoy out here. Let me quickly go into the temple and surround myself in the nectar of the holy name. So here the non-devotees are getting up. Another day. Say another day, another dollar. Or another day, another pound. But it's just another day. But for the devotees, another day. Another Mangal Arati. Another day. Another 16 rounds. Another day. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Another day. Bhagavad Prasad Ki Jai. So we have all these things to look forward to during the day. What great fortune. And then, if we wait long enough, we'll receive the ultimate of great fortune, which is going back home, back to Godhead. It's a lifetime preparation to get that, the essence of, the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premananda. So the non-devotee life is like a glow worm. There are stars in the sky, so many stars, hundreds and thousands of stars. They're lighting up the night sky. The difference between them and the glow worm is that at least their glow doesn't disappear. But even that glow is not... some light is there. But it takes many thousands of those lights to light up the sky. So it's compared to those who are following some spiritual life, maybe following the Vedas to some extent, following some yoga system, the Karma Kanda, something. It's better than nothing, better than the glow worm. But better than many hundreds and thousands of stars is one moon that rises. And when that moon rises, then those stars appear to be very, very insignificant. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. We're trying to come to the point of being full moons. And that is our lifetime aim. George Harrison sang one song, very nice song, where he explained that nothing that I have done in this world that supersedes the art of dying. And he did a lot. I mean, his material achievements were profound. He was one of the most famous, one of the most richest. He was very, very popular. And his music was quite deep and profound. A message behind every song. But this particular one was really, really special because he put himself in a position where actually, what I've achieved is absolutely zero nothing compared to the art of dying. So, are we prepared to wait until that moment when we leave the body and achieve that ultimate perfection of inheriting? We have a natural right to inherit the kingdom of God. But in order to inherit the kingdom of God, we have to go through this process of learning the art of leaving this world in total perfection. So this is why we wait. Sometimes it's also asked, why do the devotees suffer and the non-devotees enjoy? Again, this is very subtle. The non-devotees enjoy because Krishna is giving them an opportunity to become number one fools. Because through that so-called enjoyment, they will suffer anyway. And then at some point, Krishna will take everything away. Why do the devotees suffer? Because Krishna wants to measure the degree of what's the word? dependency? To what degree do we have that we are dependent on the Lord? So, within Krishna consciousness, we've all experienced a greater or lesser degree of suffering. And each time that suffering comes, we must somehow offer that back to the Lord too. See it as an opportunity to take one more step closer to the Lord. And sometimes Krishna's devotees are born in non-devotee families. Prahlad Maharaj is a nice example. He's the best example that he was born in a family of non-devotees. Vidura is another example. So there are many great devotees. We may wonder why they were born in a non-devotee family. What is Krishna's purpose for that? The one I was thinking of is that they appear to be even more glorious than what they are in front of demons. Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that let me ask you, when is a candle at its best? When it's dark. When is the sun most glorious? When it rises. Yeah, it rises, or even more so when it sets, right? When there's a little darkness. You've seen some sunsets? Yeah. When is prasad mostly relished? When you're hungry. So I remember once when it was many, many years ago, that was when you could actually drive from one end of Oxford Street to the other. I was in a car with a devotee who was driving me somewhere. And I said, because there was a marathon going on at the time, and it was around the 80s, and there were hundreds of devotees out on the marathon. And there were many on Oxford Street. So I wanted to pick out the devotees on Oxford Street, seeing how many I could pick out. And it was amazing how the devotees who are distributing the books, they stood out like anything. Although they were dressed as if they were non-devotees, they illuminated the street so much that, oh, there's one, and there's another one, and there's another one. And we could actually take this further. No, it's Kali Yuga, the age of Kali. There's no good qualities. There's no good environment. Wherever we go, it's just so mundane. So what do we do? Do we commit suicide and hope to take birth in a better age? No, we stay. Because the interesting thing that is by our practices, at least we have an influence of the persons around us. And Prabhupada makes this point in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is pointing out that you shouldn't give up sacrifices and austerities and work. And in one of Prabhupada's purports, he mentions that a person may be working in a factory, but he has nothing to do with the factory. He has nothing to do with the work in the factory. He has nothing to do with the persons who work in the factory. He's simply doing his service to maintain his family. Because he's a devotee, and devotees have to maintain their families too. And this is how he maintains his family. And the point that he was making is that if we follow the four regulative principles and chant our 16 rounds, then we can go anywhere. We're not influenced by any mundane environment that may be surrounding us. But in fact, we can take advantage. Because by our sacrifices and by our endeavors in Krishna consciousness, we become illuminated. We become illuminated with knowledge. Our senses become illuminated. Our mind becomes peaceful. So we're not that same person that we were when we were non-devotees. Lord Chaitanya pointed this out to his devotees when Jagai and Madai, when they became devotees, he actually sat them down, his devotees, and said, please don't look on Jagai and Madai as Jagai and Madai. They're no longer Jagai and Madai. They are now my devotees, and they have changed. Because Jagai and Madai, they were terrible. They were ferocious in their efforts to cause disarray. They lived in Navadvip, but even the residents of Navadvip, they were fearful even to take rest at night, just in case that Jagai and Madai came and set fire to their house. They were so bad that just to step on the shadow of either Jagai or Madai, they would then want to go and bathe in the Ganges to purify themselves. That's how bad they were. But when they became devotees, when they took shelter of Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, then their whole consciousness changed, their whole mood changed, their whole lifestyle changed, and the consequence was that hundreds and hundreds of people came and took darshan and asked blessings from them. Please, you have been delivered by Lord Chaitanya. I pray to you that one day I will be delivered in the same way that you have been delivered. So we're living proof of that. I mean, I can, as I pointed out, Lord Chaitanya, he delivers the most fallen first. So Jagai and Madai, they were the most fallen, so he delivered them. Sometimes devotees say, oh, you're so lucky you met Prabhupada. You're a Prabhupada disciple. You're so lucky, you're so lucky, you're so lucky. I think my luckiness is that I was delivered first. Lord Chaitanya delivered the most fallen first. I must have been one of the most fallen, so therefore I became one of the first devotees in the UK. That is my qualification. Because isn't it so? Lord Chaitanya delivers the most fallen first? Is that correct or not? Have I read wrongly? So that is my qualification. But Lord Chaitanya does that so that he can prove to others. If Jagai and Madai can become devotees, then anyone can become a devotee. If that dear Shanta becomes a devotee, then anyone can become a devotee. In this way, it enhances the Lord's mercy also. That those who may not ordinarily receive mercy get that mercy. When Prabhupada first came to England, the first question he was asked, why have you come here? And one reporter, in a very sarcastic way, said, have you come to walk on water? And Prabhupada said, no, I have not come to walk on water, because walking on water is not such a difficult feat today. All you have to do is take a boat and go on a cruise. And you can walk on water, you can dance on water, you can sleep on water, you can eat on water. That is not so difficult. And he raised his voice and said, "No, I have come to your England. I will go to the back streets of Manchester, Birmingham, and London, and I will take your boys and girls who are in the gutter, pick them up, and I will give them Krishna consciousness and make them into Vaishnavas. This is my mystical feat." So, this is the most mystical feat of all. To turn a non-devotee into a devotee, a Vaishnava. And this is Prabhupada's special glory on his disciples, that he was able to pick us up from the most abominable condition and raise us into a position of a devotee of Krishna. So, in conclusion, we must wait, but that waiting is our guarantee for success. That is our sacrifice for success. But the waiting and success, the success for waiting is guaranteed. There's everything to gain and nothing to lose. So please continue in your Krishna consciousness. Don't jump off Lord Chaitanya's boat. He has mercifully picked us up onto his boat. Let's not be foolish and jump off the boat just because there is some difficulty or we're experiencing some seasickness. Stay on the boat. Another one of George's songs was, "All things must pass." So if you're having a tough time today, tomorrow will be better. Hare Krishna. I will stop there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam class ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Tai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol.